Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be a part of worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is here today. It's an easy way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Find that pew pad. Write your name down. Give us contact information. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, please send it back to where it got started. We do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help. We are having children's time today, so inviting the kids to come visit with me for just a moment after the first hymn. Also, family night begins this Wednesday. So we want you to make note of that. Our choirs and our mission groups, our Bible study kicks back off this Wednesday. As we consider everything starting back up, we have our prayer partner ministry. All the children, teenagers, and college students in our church have adult prayer partners. And the only way they do is if you pick up an envelope. As you leave the church, there is a table there. You can choose which age group you're interested in. Find an envelope. Then open up that envelope, find out the name of your prayer partner. And then there's a list there on the table. Just write your name right beside there so we'll have a record of that. Powerful way that we can influence this generation. And we are thankful for all the relationships that happen within College Park, especially in our prayer partner ministry. Raymond.
On that same table, last week, there was still a stack of contact forms for our back to church emphasis. They're gone. That's wonderful. What that means is they're gone, solid gone. They're all gone. So I know several of you have taken multiple stacks of those, and I thank you very much for that. But what that means is from this point forward, we know that all those that we hadn't heard from lately have been contacted. And so now from this point forward, we reach out into the community and invite people that we know may not have a church home and invite them to come be with us, right? Right? Right. Okay. All right. To give you a tool to help you with that, we had a couple of church members print these cards up and give them to us. They're in packets of five. They're at the information center. You can take one, two, three packets, however you need to, but don't put them on your dresser. Give them out. On the front, it has the church name, the website, schedule of services. It says you're invited. And this will give you something to hand them and invite them to church. Like I say, it has all the information. They can check out website, answer a lot of their questions, has our mission statement on the back. So take those, use those as good tools to help you invite someone. And then on the 18th of September, this month, 2 weeks, we'll come together for Back to Church Sunday and celebrate the good work that you'll do between now and those 2 weeks from now. Okay? Okay?
Amen.
All right, very good. Jason Cottle, come join us, bud.
Good morning, friends.
Morning.
My name is Jason Cottle. I'm here on behalf of the Personnel Committee. Dennis Palmer is joining me on behalf of the Sanctuary Choir, and I'm going to ask Mary to stand with us as well. We've already embarrassed her one time this morning in the recreation. We're going to do it one more time. Mary's 10th anniversary at College Park is tomorrow. She started on September 5th, 2006, and we are very happy as a church to celebrate 10 years of her ministry and 10 years of Mary and Jamie and Melissa and Christian and Rebecca being with us. Mary, thank you for all that you have done. You've been a blessing to our church in more ways than I can count, and we're very thankful for you. What I remember specifically about the process that led to Mary being called to College Park, and I've already told this on her one time this morning, is that we were in an interim period there in 2006 and searching for a music minister, and our committees and Raymond had worked to identify some people. We had talked to some people, some very good, talented, capable people, but the right fit had just not yet been found. And I think Raymond was the one who stepped up at some point and said, let's start asking a different question. We've been asking, who's interested in us and who's available to come. Let's ask who's the best, regardless of whether they're available, and just let God take it from there. So questions were asked, and the answer given to College Park was that Mary Keltner was the best possible person that we could have. And thankfully, that's the plan that God had in mind. And she and Jamie and the family came soon after to begin in September 2006. Rebecca was born here, and just like Melissa and Christian is a child of this church, we're thankful for all five of the Keltners. Mary, thank you. We love you, and congratulations.
Mary, on behalf of the choir, we'd like to share a few words of comments about your 10 years here, and it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years, but it has, and it's been a joyous 10 years. And part of that is because of her joyous spirit. It's just invigorating to see her face when we as a choir are up here, and we are trying to provide a joyous experience that the Lord has to share for us in our time here of corporate worship. And that's a part of Mary, and it's constantly coming out of her, and we appreciate that. In addition to that, her sincerity at the same time that it's joyous is that she takes a firm belief in putting together a corporate worship for us to minister to us, because she is one of our ministers, and she takes in sincerely to provide the things that go into the order of our service, that it speaks to us and it connects the dots so that we find an experience with Christ. It's not just that we're here for entertainment. We're here for a relationship. And she takes that sincerely and honestly and as a challenge. In fact, today she came up with two benedictions that we probably won't share both of them with you, but in her diligence of trying to do that, she was providing the best. Flexibility, she really is flexible, and she has to work with us as a choir that pushes back on her and say, but she pushes back, and we're grateful for that, and we ask that she continue to challenge us and provide for what the Lord has to share with us. We thank you for those things, Mary, and your time here. In closing, I want to share a poem. And in the earlier service, I might have led it to believe that Teresa Hill wrote this. But Teresa Hill provided this for us to share with the choir. And it was written by Virginia White. Is that the case? Sorry. Thank you, Teresa. The title: The Music of Our Friendship. There is a rhythm when friends talk, a back and forth, a given and take. Crescendos of laughter, nothing phony, nothing fake. There's a melody to friends' voices, tones of comfort, of care, of sincerity and honesty, and secrets meant to share. There's a harmony in friendship, a blend of attitudes and views, an acceptance of each other, and support we'll never lose. There's music to our friendship, a joyful song from year to year, and the music of our friendship is a treasure I hold dear.
We are blessed with the worship experiences we have here at College Park, and they come from your heart, and we are forever grateful that you came our way. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we thank you for that. If you're a guest, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We invite you just where you are. Just raise your hand, and the ushers are going to recognize you, and they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. What is worship? What do we do when we come together corporately? Each week, Sometimes I feel like it's just a little glimpse as to what heaven will be like from the singing and the praising. So my challenge to us this morning is, if we're practicing for heaven, shouldn't we smile? Shouldn't just the very joy of being in God's presence just erupt from our soul outward? If this is just a glimpse of heaven, shouldn't we give everything we have? That is worship. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for invading our space, especially when we're not ready for you. That's exactly when we need you. God, we need you to be in this place. Send your Holy Spirit to remind us what worship is all about. And it's all about you. It's about getting our minds off of us and focusing on you. May we do that this morning. It's all about you. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's good to see everybody today. Come on down. Everybody go to school this week? Everybody went. Last week when we talked, I had a very special tool last week. Remember, what was the tool that I had? It was a paintbrush, right? I have something. Well, Mr. Drew has helped me. He's got something very special behind his back. It's another thing that I like when I go to art class. Can you show it to him? What is it? Play-Doh! All right. Yeah, Play-Doh, I know. You're going to make some with your teacher? Oh, Miss Sue, she likes playing with Play-Doh. I'm going to give everybody a little bit of Play-Doh. Can you hold that for me, Drew? Thank you, buddy. Just a little bit. Don't tell the decorations committee that I might get on the floor. Don't tell them that. All right, everybody. And you can play with it. Just don't drop it. You can play with it. Make a little something. Yeah. Everybody likes. How many of you like playing with Play-Doh? You like 100 Play-Dohs. That's a lot. Go ahead and make something with it. Go ahead and make something. I want to. Drew, you want to make something? No, you're just holding it for me. All right. I'm going to make something amazing. Watch this. You ready? Ta-da! It's a ball! Yes, it is. I am very good. What do you like to make with Play-Doh?
I like to make balls. I like to make Play-Doh.
Yeah, so you can make it flat, and then you can make. What is that? It's a pancake! That's exactly right! Oh, my goodness! That's very impressive. We like to make stuff out of this, right? I love Play-Doh. And the Bible talks about how you and me are kind of like Play-Doh because God shapes us and He molds us. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your fingers. He knows your toes. He knows the things that you like. He makes you just like He wants you to be. Just like we can make Play-Doh and we can make anything we want, God made you. That's a very cool thing that Pastor Raymond's going to talk about today. So I want you to make sure you listen really good about what he's saying, okay? Everybody, let's pray together. Good job, Drew. Dear God, thank you so much that we are like Play-Doh in your hands. You mold us and shape us exactly like you want us. You know everything about us, and that's the coolest story ever. Thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you put your Play-Doh in real quick? We'll talk. You're going to make something? All right. Made a tornado. That is impressive. All right, here we go. Put it in. We'll play. Good job. I like it. All right, y'all can go back to your seats now. Good job. I know everyone was impressed with my Play-Doh skills. My mother is so proud. Yeah, seminary professor too, that's right. Ministry of God's Word this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You will find it on page 803 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. If you don't have your Bible with you, this is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Section entitled, A Living Sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Before we pray, let me share with you some news. Yesterday, quite unexpectedly, Mary Agnes McCarthy, which many of you will know, Mary, passed away yesterday. And I've been kind of corresponding with the family. We are going to have a service here at Thursday at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So it'll be Thursday at 11 o'clock here. Visitation will be the night before. So that'll be Wednesday night from 6 to 8 at Vogler's here on Renola Road. So if you would, please continue to remember her family. Like I say, this was kind of unexpected and very sudden for them. So quite a shock. I know you'll be faithful to pray and to minister to them in the days to come. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Gracious Father, thank you for your presence, for your Holy Spirit that leads us in worship, that fills our hearts with joy and gladness and thanksgiving. Father, that gives us the compassion, the heart that we need to reach out to those who are hurting. And as is the case this morning, we have another family that's lost a loved one, and quite unexpected. But Father, we know that you're taking great care of Mary Agnes, and so we pray for the family. We pray that we would be faithful to minister to them in a way that constantly reminds them of your grace and your mercy and your peace. Father, we pray as your children and as your hands and feet, that as we reach out into this community, Father, that we would be helpers, that we would be agents of healing and hope. And we know that that's a missing element, or it appears to be, in our society today. There's so many that need to know that life does have meaning, and that they have a life of worth, and that you love them dearly, just as you love each of us here this morning. Help us to know you in a way that is so rich and so full that as we interact with people, that they would see the difference in our lives, that they would desire to know what makes us different, and that we would be faithful not only to show but also to tell just how much you mean to us, just what a difference your Son has made in our life. And we ask all of these things in his name. Amen.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Holy Father, as Jeff just read, we are many members with many different gifts, and we thank you for all those various gifts. We ask now that as we return a portion of the monetary gifts you've given to us, that you would bless them and use them to further your kingdom throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
three kinds of clay. That is the title. We'll get to that in just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6 is our lectionary text. And as I explored this text, there's a lot here that I won't have time to dig into. But in doing so, Rodney Stillwell was a good resource for me this week. He is a potter and quite a good one. Jeff Seaman, some of his remarks about this passage, the Interpreter's Bible, and that wonderful source of theological information, YouTube. YouTube videos on pottery and that type of thing. So some good stuff. One of the most powerful stories, I believe, in the Bible is the story, and one of the most powerful metaphors in the Bible is the metaphor of the potter and the clay. There's been a lot of pottery ministries that have kind of been inspired by this Jeremiah 18 passage, as well as other passages, and rightly so. It's a powerful story. Let me read it to you, and we'll go from there. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. This story strikes a chord in our heart because it deals with God's dealing with us. How God deals with us. In the story, the Lord makes reference to Israel being like clay in the hands of the potter. Let me give you another text. It's from Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. It says like this, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why'd you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Again, the Bible making reference to mankind being like clay in the potter's hands. Let me give you one more. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Back in junior high school, I got to take this wonderful exploratory class. And one of our subjects in there was pottery. And I never will forget, we had to make several projects. The first thing we had to make out of clay, was much like what Jeff did with the children down here. We were given this clay, and we took the clay, and we had to make something. It's called hand sculpturing. So you make something that you hope looks like something. And mine tried to be a bluebird, desperately. It tried to be a bluebird because my mother loves bluebirds. And we fired that thing and I took it home. And she goes, oh, that's nice, son. Tell me about it. That's parent talk. That's parent for talk. I have no idea what this is. You know, and rather than saying, what is it? You say, oh, tell me about it. So I got that. Okay, so then after that, we had a couple other projects. And ultimately, the culmination was we had to throw a piece of pottery on the wheel. I don't know if you've ever worked on a pottery wheel. It's not easy. It can be funny. The first time I took this lump of clay and I put it on the wheel, I did not seat it properly, and I hit the switch, and it's an electric wheel, so then it starts slinging little clumps of clay all over my classmates, okay? But from there, it turns out I ended up being pretty decent at this, and I caught on, and my first effort was this grandiose long stem vase that ended up being a candle holder because the vase part kind of fell off and so then I had this little candle holder, and my parents, bless their heart, this little brown candle holder, they still use it. They don't want to hurt my feelings. The bluebird disappeared, but they still use the candle holder there. But as I reflected on this passage and my experiences, funny thing, never once in all of my pottery experience did the clay ever look up at me and say what it wanted to be. It didn't. The clay was totally subject to my design. As pathetic as my design was at times, it was subject. And I began to think about that. You know, the reference to the clay and us being clay in the potter's hands. And I thought, you know, there's some significant differences here between just the pottery and our relationship with God. First of all, we are clay with a will. That's a big difference. Because although God may have wonderful plans for our lives, we may never get a chance to see those plans because of our own free will, i.e., bad choices. You see, so what does the potter do when he has clay that has free will? Let me rephrase that. Is there such a thing as clay that a potter can do nothing with? And I would say, yes, based on my limited knowledge, and granted it is limited, but YouTube really helped, there are three kinds of clay that a potter cannot use. And as God refers to us as his people, as the clay, I believe there are three types of clay that's relevant to our discussion today. So what kind of clay is not usable? Number one, if you want to write these down. Number one, clay that is not usable is clay that is bone dry. This is clay that at one time may have been soft, it may have been pliable, it may have been moldable, but it is not now. And if you think about it, back when we became believers, when we first come to know Christ, we are soft, we're moldable. Our lives are put into the potter's hand for shaping. But over a period of time, there are those who allow themselves, either through conscious choice or just neglect, they allow their lives spiritually to dry up. Their life becomes hard, it becomes brittle, it becomes bone dry. Nothing can penetrate their life any longer. They hear the word preached, yes. They come to church, maybe. But none of it has any effect on their lives. That they've closed themselves off to spiritual truth. Now, I've known believers like this. I have, and I'm certain that probably you do too, whose lives have become bone dry. 2 Peter 2, verse 20 through 22 reads like this. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. Now, then he quotes two Proverbs, and there's a lot of imagery here. So I hope this is not what you take away finally from the service. But it said, of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to wallowing in the mud. Do you understand what he's trying to portray? Do you understand what Peter's trying to teach us? You know, when people become bone dry, God no longer can work with them until they repent by choice or until God breaks them. Because there's only one way for a vessel, for clay, for a pot, anything like this to be used again. It has to be completely crushed and the process of molding starts all over again. So how do you pray then? You say, I know somebody like that, Raymond. How do I pray for people that are in this condition? Let me suggest we pray according to Hosea 2. For those of you that don't know the story of Hosea, I recommend you read the book. It's very short, but it's very good. In Hosea 2, the prophet's wife had left him and went out into the world. And in this case, she represents a type of sin that the children of Israel had become. This shows Israel's relationship with God and the fact that they had backslidden and they had become a bone dry people. And so Hosea prays for his wife in verse 6 of chapter 2. And the Lord answers and says in verse 6, therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so she cannot find her way. What this is saying is that God was trying to break her will
so she would come home. And church, that happens. You know, this is why a lot of times our loved ones go back into the world and have to hit absolute bottom before they will look up, before they will change. Why is that? Because God is taking a bone dry pot and he's crushing it so it can be used again. God cannot use bone dry clay. The second kind of clay that God cannot use is clay that lacks sufficient moisture. And you say, Raymond, that's the same as number one. Well, no, not really. First one was bone dry. I mean, just no moisture whatsoever. Second one is, it may be some moisture there, but it's not enough to be pliable. It's not enough to be moldable. In the New Testament language, it would be lukewarm. Okay? You understand? Sadly, that's where a lot of church members, quote unquote, where a lot of believers are today. Just enough of a relationship with God to know that they're saved, to know that they're forgiven. They have just enough of a relationship to be active, to feel confident in their salvation, you know, but they're not active in growing. They're not active in their discipleship. They're not active in their relationship with Christ. They're not active in their total life stewardship. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, if a man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay of straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day of judgment. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That last verse, verse 15, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That's what we're dealing with clay that lacks sufficient moisture. The implication here is that there are many believers who have never allowed the potter to mold them. They've invested their lives into worldly stuff. They've invested their lives into things that are quite temporary. Things that do not last for eternity. They've invested in bringing satisfaction to themselves here on earth, not building up the kingdom of God. These folks, they may go to church. They love God. They believe in salvation. They participate in worship. But that's about as far as it goes. They never surrender their will to God. Ultimately, they're living for themselves. Now, that's not to say they're bad people, but they just refuse to allow the potter to mold them. And there are millions of believers who God can do absolutely nothing with because they will not soften enough to be used. And you say, Raymond, I want to be more moldable. What should I do? Well, what makes clay soft? Water. Thank you. From the back. Bless you, my son. Good job. Water. Water. Throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referenced with water. Jesus said he gives us living water. If you want to become soft, you must allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. You must begin yielding your life to him, giving up your will to the potter. If you want to be softened, here's how you do it. You open your heart and you pray a prayer like this. Lord, come and begin to pour your spirit into me. Pour your spirit into me. I give you control of my will and of my life. Use me. Make me usable. The third kind of clay that God cannot use is clay with hidden error or hidden sin. Let me show you a couple examples. This pot looks great, doesn't it? Looks great until you look at the bottom. What happened there? Bottom blew off of that thing. This piece looks great too. except for that top rim. Something really nasty happened there in the firing process. The pot that's contained within this pot that is in multiple pieces had a major blowout, okay? There's really, Rodney put this in another pot because there's like 30, 40 pieces in there. So what happened to those vessels that caused them literally to explode? What happens? Well, the pot went through every process just fine. The potter threw it on the wheel, completed the pot. It looked beautiful, but then the final test always tells the potter whether or not the clay was pure. Only the fire can reveal the hidden defects. Every now and then, some of these clay pots have hidden air pockets. And so when you put it in the fire, the air expands with the heat, and it, at some level, this trapped air expands and explodes, breaks the pot apart. You say, okay, how does that translate to real life? Well, I believe there are believers who look like they have it all together. They know all the right words to say. They know how to dress. They know when to worship. They may even be involved in ministry. They look like a finished vessel, but deep in their lives are some hidden pockets of sin that have never been exposed. No one else can see them. That's the reason they call them hidden sin. It could be anything. It could be lust. It could be pride. It could be lack of integrity. List goes on and on and on. But when God turns up the refining fire, these hidden faults are revealed. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 says, "So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known." Eventually, it all comes out. You see, God has his way of turning up the fire in our lives for the purpose of refining. See, the heat's not to make us explode. The heat is to refine us, to strengthen us, to make us stronger vessels. But if you have those hidden sins, then you are a vessel that God cannot fully use until you confess it and turn away from it. Cannot fully use until you confess and turn away from it. Psalm 32:5 says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." See, forgiveness of sin is not a New Testament concept. It's a whole Bible concept, okay? Sometimes we think about the Old Testament and we don't read the forgiveness part. We think about wrath of God. But here the psalmist says, "I confessed it. I laid it out for you, and you forgave." In Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." You see, hidden sin is not something to play with. That's why Jesus constantly called out the Jewish leaders, called them vipers, called them hypocrites, because on the outside they looked like beautiful, polished vessels, but they were full of hidden sin. If this is where you are in your life, then understand, God wants to forgive. He deeply desires for you to be a pure vessel. He wants to restore you to what He created you to be. Because God understands, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God is the kind of potter who does not want to throw away unusable clay. He does not want to discard it. He wants to make it usable. He wants to redeem, not throw away. Hear that word. When we're broken, He can begin the process of healing and restoration. When we're so dry that we feel like that we've lost all contact with Him, He has not gone anywhere. We are the ones that have moved, and we need to turn back to Him. You see, in all the craziness of our world today, and it's a crazy place, hear the good news that God loves us and deeply desires a daily presence in our lives. Minute by minute of every day, He wants to give our lives purpose as we surrender our will to His perfect plan. Because as you've probably figured out by now, if you look at the title of the sermon, The title of the sermon is not complete because it should read three kinds of clay that God cannot use. Because the obvious is true, there is a fourth kind of clay that he can use, right? Sure. The clay that's moist, that's workable, that's pliable, that's willing. Willing to be shaped by the potter into a beautiful vessel. The day in 2003 that I became your senior pastor, Rodney Stilwell visited my office and he gave me this. And he challenged me with some words that I'll never forget. I won't share them with you because they're very personal. But I think of them often, and I keep this beautiful vessel sitting on my window so that every time I turn from my desk to get up, I see it. And I'm reminded of the challenge that he placed on my life, that I fully believe God placed in his heart to place in my ears for me to hear and to be challenged by. Beautiful vessels need to be clean. Beautiful vessels need to be willing to be used by God. I challenge you to be that fourth kind of clay. The kind of clay that God can make into beautiful vessels. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we are challenged by your word. We're challenged by what we know of who you are and ultimately what you desire for us. We're challenged because we're selfish. We're challenged because we think some way or another we've got a better idea. We're challenged because we get that message reinforced every day from the world. Father, now we pray that your Spirit would challenge us to turn away from the things that are selfish, to turn away from the things that serve us and seek instead the things that serve you. God, we say that we love you. Give us the courage to begin to live it daily, minute by minute, every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Christ personally, you do not have a relationship with Christ, that's the most important decision you'll ever make. I want to challenge you in a moment. We're going to stand and sing. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ, how to have a personal relationship with Christ. If you're here and you are a believer, but you've fallen into the category of one of those first three kinds of clay, certainly, as you sing, as you pray, you can settle that with God. But I'll be here and I'll be glad to talk with you if that's what you desire. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, I highly recommend it. I've been here a while. Mary's been here 10 years. Jeff, how long have you been here? Where's Jeff go? Like 15 years? We have a great longevity of staff because this is a wonderful church. They don't run us off, okay? It is a wonderful church, and they will love, and they will encourage, and they will support you. And we have many ways that we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. Whatever your decision, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
I am the
following our benediction and the choir's response, I invite you to greet one another. Greet our guest. Offer a word of encouragement. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as your children, we come to you, we ask for your help. From this day forward, Father, we ask that you would mold us, that you would use us, and that you would make us worthy vessels. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.